Everything you see and hear these days is remixed, edited, filtered through some kind of software, and then sent back out to the world, you know.
This is Dan Gonzalez. Welcome back to If It's Wednesday, It's X-Gay. This is the third installment of my talk with Jim Burraway, editor of BoxTurtleBulletin.com. He's going to be telling us a little bit about his experience having attended the Love One Out X-Gay Roadshow when it came to Phoenix. Jim lives in Tucson, but he attended Love One Out in Phoenix a couple months ago.
Nancy Hesh, if you remember, she's the mother of actress Anne Hesh, who was Ellen DeGeneres' former partner. And, excuse me, Nancy talks about her husband had died of AIDS, and then her daughter then becomes this very public lesbian who's, you know, very famous. And Nancy was just apparently just appalled and humiliated at it all. And she gave this talk. It was a very bizarre talk about how she was angry at all the gay people and then how God slowly changed her hard heart and melted it into a soft heart. And she came upon this passage in the Bible, Acts chapter 3, verse 26, which says, "When God raised up his servant, meaning Jesus, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." The way she interpreted that verse was that a blessing changes somebody and turns them from their wicked ways to God's way. And then she also got to thinking, well, I can participate in God's plan to change people from their wicked ways to God's way. You know, I can bless people, and maybe by blessing them, they will change. And so she said a prayer of blessing for her daughter. And she claims that the moment she did that, that was the same weekend that Anne Hesh left Ellen DeGeneres.
But now I knew what I could do. Now that I had a soft heart, now that I'd been blessed and turned from my way to God's way, I could be part of God's plan to bless her and maybe turn her from her way to God's way. I could bless her now. So in that little plane with my Bible on my lap, I confessed my hard heart. And I blessed her, and I blessed her friends. And as God would have it, that was the weekend she ended her lesbian affair.
So she kind of took credit with this magical blessing for having changed Anne's sexuality. She immediately claimed that she didn't, that that's not really what happened. I got to be fair. She immediately says, well, now this wasn't a magical blessing. It wasn't like I sent up this magic blessing and poof, everything changed. But yet, you know that the people who are in that audience, who are desperate for their own children's change, clung to that message nevertheless. I mean, remember, this is an evangelical Christian community. They believe in prayer. They believe in miracles. And she told them about her miracle. And Anne, she reinforced it by praying for them. And I want you to listen to this prayer.
"And now reach out your hands to give a blessing to your loved ones. Father, we ask you to bless our loved ones. We ask you to interfere in their lives, to take action in their lives, to bring them into the right relationship with yourself. We ask you to bless them, to release your power in their lives, to change their character and destiny. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen."
So she left them at the end of her talk, praying for their children to change, you know. And this is, like I said, they believe in prayer. They believe powerfully in prayer. And they believe in miracle. And I thought it was just a really strange thing. And I don't want to denigrate anybody's religious belief in the power of prayer. But I think the problem here is, what kind of an expectation? Are you setting a realistic expectation? And again, I'd have to say no. Then it's not a realistic expectation. So the parents that are there, you know, they're desperate to figure out, too, is there any hope that their child will change? And I think there were two speakers, again, who really hit on that. And that was Mike Haley, a focus on the family. He gave his testimony that reinforced virtually everything that Nicolosi had said about what caused homosexuality, except he took his story further and described a long period of changing his sexuality from gay to straight. And he finished it with complete with these huge photographs on the multimedia screen behind them of his wedding and then of his wife, Angie, and then their two children, the two beautiful children. Melissa Ferrier, she also had a similar testimony about her journey out of lesbianism, as they put it. Her problem, however, is that she's not married. And so she didn't have that as proof of her change. And so she had to try to convince her audience that she really was straight. And so here's kind of how she did it.
So, you know, I'm not married, but I am definitely accepting proposals. And let's just define that a little bit more. A tall, redheaded man, age 35 to 50, who loves football and will look great in a Scottish kilt. I've always got Ronald to fall back on. That movie, Braveheart, changed my life. And I don't know what it is about redheaded men, but woo! Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. My heart goes a little patter-patter when I see those redheaded men.
So you notice that clip. She just seems to go on and on and on, like she's really kind of, I mean, she doesn't just say it once. I mean, she seems going over and over and over. And, you know, it is a very funny moment. It's a very lighthearted moment, but it just seems like, you know, okay, we get it, you know. But I think she doth protest too much. It's almost how it came across to me, at least.
Anything?
Those were the three testimonials, and those were the three things that really jumped out.
So I know Alan Chambers spoke, but did he give a testimonial? Because he's married and he's an ex-gay.
Yeah. Alan Chambers, he didn't speak at any of the plenary sessions. If you wanted to go hear him, you had to go to one of the breakout sessions. I should talk about the structure a little bit. Is you had these plenary sessions that everybody, all 700 or so people who were there, attended. And then you'd have these breakout sessions. And during these breakout sessions, you'd have a choice of some four or five different topics to choose from. So if you were lucky enough to actually attend one particular session that Alan Chambers attended, and by one account, only about 75 people were there, he talked about what are the realistic expectations for change. And I think that his talk was the only one that I heard that was at all believable. And it's a talk that he alludes to publicly, but he doesn't really get into, I think, the level of honesty that he does here. As you can hear, he doesn't really claim that his own sexuality changed. Instead, he says that it is still a struggle to him. Let's listen.
And so every single morning, this is a ritual for me. I wake up and I say, "Dear Lord, I can't make it today without you. I choose to deny what comes naturally to me. And I live a life of denial." You have to expect, as you're coming out of homosexuality or whatever you're coming out of, to live a life of denial. We're all going to struggle with something until the day we die. And if we think that we can get up one day and decide we don't have to pray about it anymore, then we're mistaken. So expect a life of obedience. Expect a life of denial.
Yeah, so this is what he says to this audience. Unfortunately, it's a tiny audience. There's only about, you know, 75, 80 people there. There's not that many. And I think
So you didn't actually go to Alan's breakout session, right? How did you know that he's...
I didn't actually go. The Love One Out does a wonderful service, is that they actually record all their sessions and you can buy them at the conference right there. So I bought the CDs and I actually ran across Alan Chambers. I loaded them on my iPod, and so I was listening to Love One Out conferences on my way to and from work. And
that's dedication.
So, yeah, well, don't be jealous. Anyway, so I heard that on the way to work one morning, and I just thought, well, First of all, I was thinking, wow, I wish I'd gone to his session instead of, I went to Musa Fiverr's session for parents. And I wish I had gone to his, because I really would have liked to have been there in person to hear him deliver that. And it's a message I think he really should be giving publicly. He's a little coy when he talks about it, say, when he goes on CNN or some other major media outlet. He's very coy about it. But it's so
Montel.
Incredibly... I'm sorry?
Or say Montel.
Or, yeah, Montel even. But yet here I thought he was refreshingly honest, and I really do wish that he would be brave enough to go ahead and say that. I know a lot of people are going to say, aha, see, people can't really change. But you know what? If that's part of the truth, you got to own it. You got to own the truth, especially if you're going to profess to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage him to own that truth and to own it publicly and to proclaim it.
All right. This concludes our multi-part interview with Jim Burraway of Box Turtle Bulletin, which really means I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to be doing my show on next week in case I can't find anything. Can't just pull this out of the archives anymore. But on a positive note, now that I've gotten the technical bugs worked out of my telephone interview system, you, the listener, won't have to put up with this terrible, murky audio quality anymore. So until next week, see you later. More information on this podcast can be found at voxturtlebulletin.com. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 3.0 license. Theme music is Identity of Self by His Boy Elroy, available at ccmixter.org.
He says that it is still a struggle to him. Let's listen.
You're so cute with your little let's listen.
Do what?
You're so cute with your little let's listen lead-in.
If you like that.
Yeah, it's adorable.